ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। येभ्यन्यदेवता भक्ता यजन्ते श्रद्धयान्विताः तेऽपि मामेव कौन्तेय यजन्त्यविधिपूर्वकम्। Those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in a wrong way. In the 7th chapter, we discussed a lot about worship of demigods. Here also, after talking about pure devotional service in the previous verse, Krishna again returns back to the demigod worshippers in the 23rd verse here. So there are 5 categories of worshippers. Firstly, we have the pure devotees or Mahatmas. So they are called as Akama Bhaktas. Akama Bhaktas means those who don't have any material desire. They are like swan class. So Prabhupada used to call them as first class. So they are first class devotees. Krishna loves them the most. And then there are second category people who are Sakama Bhaktas. What we learn from the Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam, 4 categories. Those who come with material desires to Krishna. So both these categories are called as direct worshippers of Krishna because they directly come to Krishna. The other 3 are called as indirect category because they don't worship Krishna directly. So the 3rd level of worshippers are the demigod worshippers who worship different devatas. Then we have the 4th category, impersonalists. And fifthly, we have atheists. So atheists are also accepted as one of the worshippers of Krishna. Indirectly. So they are also worshipping the Mahamaya. Here again Krishna is saying here, Epi Anya Devata Bhakta Yajante Shraddhayanvitaha Tepi Mameva Kaunti Yajanti Aviti Purvakam. Tepi Mameva Kaunteya. They all are only worshipping me. They actually worship me only, but they do so in a wrong way. Prabhupada, you know, throughout his preaching in the West as well as in India, he had this stand very clear that there is only one Supreme, which is Lord Sri Krishna, and everyone else is subordinate to Krishna. There are many Vishnu Tattvas like Vishnu or Narayan or Lord Rama. They all come from Krishna. Prabhupada compared them to luminous candles, equally luminous. But with respect to demigods, Prabhupada was very clear about how the various demigods are all like different limbs of the body of the Lord. They have to be seen like that. In this connection, Prabhupada have had many conversations with this devotees. Many a times people would come to Prabhupada and ask him about why not worship demigods. I have a conversation here, Prabhupada's conversation in London. See how repeatedly Ajit Prabhupada was preaching at a particular place called the Stettenhurst Park in London. So Prabhupada was very much eager to see that outside people come and take part in his lectures. But he saw that his own devotees were sitting all the time and asking questions. So after many lectures, one time they arranged a big lecture in outside place, in auditorium, in the Camden Town Hall. There is a very interesting conversation here. One Indian woman is asking here, would it matter if I worshipped any other god? Would it matter whether I worshipped Krishna or Shiva or Christ or Buddha? Would it really matter? Prabhupada says here, if you worship Shiva, you will go to Shiva. If you worship Krishna, you will get Krishna. Why do you expect Krishna by worshipping Shiva? What is your idea? My idea, she is saying, my idea is, would it really matter? Prabhupada again says, don't you suppose if you purchase a ticket for India, you will go to India? How can you go to America? Again she is arguing, that's not the point. Prabhupada is saying, that is the point. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pitrum Yanti Pitru Vrataha, which is coming 2 verses later. So she is trying to explain, but my point is, Prabhupada explains, your point, you understand, why don't you understand the description of Bhagavad Gita? If you worship demigods like Shiva and others, you will go there. If you worship Krishna, you will go to Krishna. What is the difficulty to understand? Indian woman is asking, do you think that Shiva is a demigod? And Prabhupada is asking, yes, why not? And then Indian woman, but Krishna says that it doesn't matter the way you worship. That is this verse. She is talking about this verse. All means have the same goal and you will reach the same goal. You can take the different paths, but you will come to me eventually. Tepi mame you come to Krishna says, no. Ultimately you are worshipping me only, even if you are worshipping the demigods. But then Prabhupada says, try to understand. Suppose you have to go to the 42nd floor of a building and you are going up one after another. So the goal is the 42nd story. You cannot claim that after going a few steps, I have come to the goal, the 42nd story. The path is one, that's all right. But you have to reach the ultimate goal. You do not know what is the ultimate goal. You simply say all paths reach the same goal. But you do not know what is the ultimate goal. So this is Prabhupada's conversation. So there are many people who talk like this, yato mat tato pat. All paths lead to the same goal. This is actually the famous concocted philosophy of Bengal. Once Prabhupada was in Calcutta, somebody came and asked Prabhupada about this question, why do you say only Krishna, Krishna? Anybody who is reading Bhagavad Gita can worship Krishna or Shiva or Ganesha or anybody. That is my understanding, he said. Prabhupada said, who cares about your understanding? We are worried about what is Krishna's opinion. Krishna says, Man ekam sharanam raja. Surrender only unto me. Very clearly Krishna has declared. So that man is arguing, no, no. Even in Bengal, a very great saintly person has said that all paths lead to the same goal. Prabhupada said, that person is upstart. He's an upstart. What does he know? He doesn't know what Krishna says. So that man became very annoyed and he went away. And Prabhupada is telling, these people have spoiled the pure philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. And they have really ruined the population by misleading them, by preaching this bogus philosophy that all gods are one, you can worship any god, ultimately all paths lead to same goal. So many people have this notion that according to them, God is like the pivot of a wheel and all the paths are like different spokes leading to the wheel. This is what many people think. Prabhupada very clearly says that Krishna doesn't mean that. Prabhupada gives the example here of a staircase. That you have first floor, second floor, third floor, up to 58th floor or whatever. So 58th floor is the Krishna Prema. And all the other paths are like different floors. One has to come to 58th floor. So all the different yoga systems are like different rungs on a ladder. Not that they are like different spokes leading to a common center. And we can clearly see that no matter how much a person matures up in a particular path, like Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, you see that their levels are completely different. At the time of Parikshit, leaving his body, 7 days before, when he came to the banks of the Ganges, he met many sages in science there. Many of them. Thousands of them had come from worldwide to see Parikshit leaving the body. He was the king of the world. And they all were practicing different things. Like you find somebody having a beard, somebody shaved up, somebody having this kind of tilak, somebody having this kind of tilak. And some people wearing no dress in the body, some people wearing one piece dress, somebody having ash all over the body, somebody carrying a trishul. All kinds, so many types of sages in science. Now very soon Kumbh Mela is coming in Nasik. You can go to Nasik and see. Anywhere where there is Kumbh Mela celebrated, you will find so many types of religionists. And they all have different kinds of understanding about the truth. And majority of the people's understanding, they all worship different gods. Somebody is worshipping Kali. They may be offering Bali, offering goats. Or somebody is worshipping Shiva. They may carry Trishul and Damru. Some people are worshipping Ganesh, and some worshipping different devatas like that. And majority of them, if you see, the best understanding, the most elevated understanding they have is that they have to negate material pleasure. That's all they know. They don't know anything beyond that. So, although there are different classes of religionists, we can ask this question to ourselves. How do you expect them to arrive at Golok Vrindavan? A place where only language is love, where all the residents are speaking to one another, not speaking, singing to one another. And they are dancing. Their only language is love. And it is simply a downpour of nectar. How can such people reach that? Those who don't know anything beyond negating the material pleasures of the world, there's a long way to go. In this way you will find all people, some people go to Shmashan to get Vairagya, some people go to Himalayas to give up sense gratification, some people beat themselves with whips, some people torture their body in heat and cold and all that. So in this way, all paths cannot lead to the same goal. Like somebody is worshipping demigods, worshipping Ganesh for getting nice wealth, and they are getting wealth. Like once Prabhupada wrote his sons who had asked Prabhupada whether they can worship Ganesh. Prabhupada wrote very clearly in one of the letters that there is absolutely no need to have a separate worship of Ganesh. Because very clearly Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamekam Sharanam Braja Sarva Dharmaan Parityaja. Abandon all other types of worship. Worship only me, Lord Krishna says. So Prabhupada wrote to them, just chant 16 rounds every day, follow the four regulative principles, read Bhagavad Gita, distribute my books. In this you lead a pure life, perform the path of pure devotional service. You don't need anything. And then Prabhupada added, if you are really interested in worshipping Ganesh to amass abundant wealth by which you can worship Krishna, if that is your desire, then he said, then you can worship Ganesh, but you must send me $1 lakh every month. Minimum. 2-3 times over says in that letter. At least you must send $100,000 to me every month if you want to worship Lord Ganesh. That letter Prabhupada wrote to them. Later on Prabhupada wrote the same letter to another disciple also, very similar. That my sons asked me about this Ganesh worship. I told them, for you also it's the same rule. If you want to worship Ganesh, and that too Prabhupada said, you can have a temple of Ganesh in your own house, privately, not publicly. Don't make a public temple for everyone to come and worship. So, although Rupa Goswami talks about worshipping Ganesh in Bhaktira Samrita Sindhu, Prabhupada writes that in Enodi book also. Sometimes there are people who have a tendency to go to demigods. So one devotee in Pune also, he came and, one elderly devotee came to me and asked me, he came opening the particular page, underlying that sentence, and Pauji, just see what is mentioned here. Prabhupada says we should worship Ganesh. So I was planning to install Ganesh in my house. I showed him the letter of Prabhupada, what Prabhupada says. Prabhupada said you worship Ganesh in nectar of devotion, but what he says in his letter you can see. You have to give $100,000. And within a second that devotee was absconding. So Prabhupada knew very well the people's mentality. The mentality is that people want to worship demigods and accumulate some material wealth. Now you may wonder why Prabhupada should so strongly criticize the worship of demigods. What's wrong there? Just as we are worshipping Krishna, same day why not we worship demigods also? What's wrong there? There is a gulf of difference between worshipping Krishna and worshipping demigods. As I said in the beginning, Krishna is the ultimate. There is no one equal to him or superior to him. It's called as Asamaurdhva. And all demigods are subordinates. The example is given of a tree. We have to water the root of the tree, not every single leaf and every branch. So the demigods are all different administrators of the universe, and they all are compared to different leaves of the tree, different branches of the tree, different twigs of the tree, and Krishna is considered to be the root of the tree. So Prabhupada will stress this point so many times. We should always water the root of the tree. We should not water the branches or leaves. Similarly, we should put the food in the stomach through the mouth. And this, several times Prabhupada speaks this. Wherever he met Indian community, Prabhupada saw that they are very fond of worshipping demigods. They are worshipping Saraswati, they are worshipping. Any time they would talk about any demigod, Prabhupada would defeat. Like in one place somebody was asking about Saraswati worship. You know, in Nellur, in India, South India, two sisters were there who had a big property. And they were telling Prabhupada that we will give you this land, you can have your ISKCON temple and everything. And Prabhupada, along with his many disciples, went, saw the land, he was very pleased. And because they promised, immediately there is a Bhumi Pujan also there. And then Prabhupada wrote a letter to his disciples asking, when are we making the fence and when are you beginning construction and all. And they wrote back saying that Prabhupada, these two sisters were asking whether we could make, we could have also Saraswati and Ganesh as deities in the temple. Along with that, we could also have like Sarva Dharma Sama Bhavana, you know, all different religious literatures in the library. Can we make that in our ISKCON temple? And Prabhupada really was hot. He wrote back. He said, what is all this? Tell them very clearly that we cannot make a Saraswati temple and Ganesh temple and make a library of hodgepodge books, all kinds of so-called religious literature, all bluffs. And Bhaktivinoda Saraswati calls them as Prajalpa. All the literatures, which are Mayavadi literatures, are written by materialistic people. So-called religionists, it's all called as Prajalpa. So Prabhupada said, this kind of literatures, we cannot make a library, tell them. Tell them that you already given the land to us, so the land belongs to Krishna now. But if they insist that they want all these different things, then tell them that still they cannot have all this, we will pay them off. Whatever be the cost of the land, wherever we made the Bhumi Pujan, let us take that portion as a donation, and the rest of the land we will just pay it off. Whatever is the market price of the place, tell them that ISKCON will pay it. We don't want all kinds of mixture there like this. But if they are agreeable to give the land to us in donation, then tell them that we will offer them a guest room where both sisters can live there as devotees. Prabhupada said, they have to only live as devotees, but we cannot do anything else. So Prabhupada would always connect and tell people, whenever somebody would ask about Saraswati, Prabhupada would tell the story of Keshav Kashmiri. Once Alan was talking to Prabhupada about Saraswati, and Prabhupada said, he was telling one shloka from India, what he heard about Saraswati. So Prabhupada said, yes, we used to recite it in our childhood and all. And then Prabhupada said, you know what happened to Saraswati? She went and told Keshav Kashmiri in the dream that the one who defeated you is my master. Krishna is my master, she said. So better that you go and surrender to him. In this way, Keshav Kashmiri was inspired by Saraswati to go and surrender to Krishna in the form of Lord Nimai Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the power originally comes from Krishna. Just like some bulb is 1000 watt, it is shining like with so much bright light. How much watt is this? It's white. How much is it? It's 40 watts. So we have 40 watts, 15 watts, 50 watts, 100 watts, 200 watts, 500 watts, isn't it? 1000 watt bulb, isn't it? Different watts like that. Every bulb is able to exhibit different illumination depending on the wattage like that. In the same way, the demigods are also like different bulbs who are giving out different amounts of potencies and powers. Every demigod is not the same. In fact, there are subordinate demigods, there are superior demigods even amongst them. Some demigods are serving as servants of Indra, servants of Gandharvas, servants of Brahma like that. But the original power source is Krishna. Krishna is the one who supplies power to all of them. If Krishna withdraws the power, immediately lights will be off. It's like power cut. When there is power cut, then Krishna cuts the power, finish. All the demigods will lose their power. They can't do anything. And Krishna shows that so many times. See, Krishna gave power to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra to fight with the Gandhi above. The very same Arjuna, after Krishna disappears in the planet, then Arjuna lost all his powers. Same thing with all the demigods also. Krishna gives them power and he takes away all the powers. You can see in Brahma Samhita that Brahma talks about how Krishna supplies power to all the demigods, to every one of them.
Yachakshuresha savita sakala grahanam raja samasta suramurti rashesha teja yasya ajnaya brahmati sambhrita kala chakra govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
Brahmaji is saying, Yachakshuresha sakala savita sakala grahanam, the sun. The sun, which is compared to Lord's eye, that power of the sun actually comes from Krishna only. Lord gives power to Vyaswan to have that shine, that potency to shine. Similarly, Lord Ganesh and Narsingadeva have a very special relationship. You heard of that? See, Vigna Vinashaka Narsingadeva Bhagavan ki Jai, isn't it? So, original Vigna Vinashaka is who? Narsingadeva. And Lord Ganesh takes the lotus feet of Lord Narsingadeva and holds it on his tusks. Why? From there he gets the power to become a Vigna Vinashak. Vigna Vinayak. To become a Vigna Vinashak, Vigna Vinayak. That means he can remove the obstacles in everyone's life. Where does he get the power from? He's a devotee of Lord Narsingadeva. Like that. Similarly, in Brahma Samhita we'll find, it's explained about how Lord, even Mahavishnu is actually Kala Vishesho, is Amshamsha. Amshamsha means portion of a portion of Krishna. And similarly, Srishti, Sthiti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Rekha, Durga, she is also simply a chaya, like a shadow of Krishna. So, in Brahma Samhita, Brahmaji very beautifully explains about how all the demigods receive their powers from Krishna. That's why Krishna says, Tepi Mameva Kaunteya. Isn't Abhidipurvakam. Actually, all the demigods get powers from me. That is why, if somebody is worshipping them, like if somebody is glorifying the bulb, oh, how wonderful it's glowing. But who is giving the power for the bulb to glow? The power is given by Krishna. So they are indirectly glorifying Krishna. Instead of saying, instead of thanking the Indian government, thank you for supplying us electricity, that we are able to run the fan, we are able to run the bulbs, we are able to run the grinder, mixie, everything. You are supplying us power. We have to thank the government of India, original government of India, isn't it? Who is supplying all this power. But instead of glorifying that, we are glorifying the individual. Oh, fan, you are so beautifully running. You know? Like that, it's individually glorifying them. Oh, mixie, you are doing such a nice job for me. Every morning, I am able to use you for making chutney or whatever. But then, where is the power coming from? Power is coming from Krishna. So, Krishna is saying, they are not directly glorifying me. They are indirectly glorifying. That's why Prabhupada used to always in his lectures say that you have to put the food in the mouth. If you put in the ears, will it go? No. If you put in the nose? So all the other holes, they will get blocked. They won't go to the stomach. But if you put in the mouth, it goes in the stomach. But once a disciple argued with Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, sometimes they feed food from the rear, from the backside. You heard of basti? Some people are given the basti treatment because they have some serious disease due to which they cannot eat with the mouth. They are given some nutrition. Vat problem. So for them they are given from the rear. It's called as basti. So due to the one disciple was arguing, he was saying, Prabhupada, sometimes they feed food through the backside. And Prabhupada said, that is a disease condition. Prabhupada said, only in a disease condition one is given food from behind. In a healthy condition, how do you eat? You eat from the backside? It's from the mouth only. Similarly, when the soul is healthy, whom does he worship? Krishna. When the soul is unhealthy, then he goes to worship different demigods. for achieving different material benefits. So why Prabhupada condemns very strongly, we can understand that only if we appreciate what is pure devotional service. The relationship between Krishna and his devotees is so pure and sublime. Love is the only basis. There is nothing else. There is no, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. By rejecting all these things, Mahaprabhu has showed that a bhakta does not aspire for kamini, kanchan, patishta. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. These are considered the topmost enemies of renunciates. Kamini, kanchan, patishta. Attraction to opposite sex, and attraction for wealth, accumulating wealth, and attraction for having innumerable followers to salute you. So, these attractions, all these things he rejected and showed that the path of pure and service, the only basis for that is pure love. Whereas, as soon as one talks of the worship of demigods, devatas, that relationship is forgotten. There is no question of any love there. Prabhupada was once talking in a conversation, he was talking to a man. The man was asking, is Krishna means love? God Krishna possesses love? The Prabhupada said, how can he not possess love? Krishna means all attractive. One who is the reservoir of all love. And Prabhupada said, and then the man asked, what about the living entity? Living entity also has love? And Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna has love for you, and you have love for something else. And that is your problem, he said. But if you show that love towards Krishna, and you reciprocate love that he is offering you, then you are in a safe position. So Krishna is giving love, but the living entities are not reciprocating. So love is coming from the top to bottom, but then from here we are giving love to so many material things of this world. And in this way we get distracted in our life. So the worship of demigods, the basis for that is some material pleasure, some material benefit. Chipram himanushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Chipram, immediate, they want immediate pleasure. As soon as they get it, that is the end of the relationship. Go to a demigod, worship, you get some benefits, and it is done. That's all. I have seen in Bombay also, when there is some function in Mahalakshmi temple, they will be going there, like practically thousands of them, standing in a long queue. And then when there is Ganesh Chaturthi, there will be a long queue in Ganesh temple. When there is Shivaratri, there will be a long queue there. As far as Vaishnavas are concerned, Prabhupada wrote in one letter also that even Ganesh worship, one devotee asked Prabhupada, should we install a Ganesh deity in our temple and regularly worship him, just like we worship Radha Krishna? Prabhupada said, no, the Vaishnavas don't worship like that on a regular basis. And Prabhupada says in Krishna Bhagavad, you see, during 1 year, the Vrajavasis plan to celebrate Shivaratri. Isn't it? When Nanda Maharaj was swallowed by that Vidyadhara serpent, no? Yeah. Isn't it? That Prabhupada writes that generally Vaishnavas don't celebrate Shivaratri every year. It's not a regular activity. Occasionally, once in a while, they may celebrate. And that too, when they celebrate with a proper understanding. If you read that pastime very carefully, Prabhupada explains that. That Nanda Maharaj went and all the covered men went and they fasted for Shivaratri. And the night they were sleeping, while sleeping, the Vidyadhara came in the form of a serpent and he swallowed. And then he started crying. Krishna, Krishna, he called Krishna and then Krishna touched the serpent and the serpent was delivered and all that. And then Prabhupada is saying, and all the Vrajavasis were completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So he says, they went to worship Shiva, but they ended up thinking Krishna. This is the meaning of Vaishnava. Vaishnava even worships other devatas only for achieving Krishna. This is the standard of Vaishnava. Like gopis worship Katyayini so that they may get Krishna as their husband. Like that. So Arjuna was ordered by Krishna that you are a Kshatriya, so you go to Durga and you worship her before the Kurukshetra war. As the Lord told Arjuna that you go to Shiva in Kailash Parvat and you perform penance and get the Pashupatastra. And Arjuna just did it because Krishna told him to do so. And the gopis were told by Krishna, when he took away the clothes, and Krishna told them that now you have to worship Varuna, because you offended Varuna by entering the waters without clothes. So the, all the gopis worshipped Varuna. And Prabhupada writes there also, you see, it's not that the gopis are afraid of Varuna or they'll be punished by Varuna. They never had such a fear. But because Krishna pleaded, Krishna requested them to worship. So not to just please Krishna, they worshipped Varuna. Like that. So in this way we can see that devotees, they rarely worship the devatas, and if they at all worship, that worship should be done with a proper understanding. So the second offense talks about this. What is the second offense against the holy name? What is it in English? Consider the demigods to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. That means two things are said here. One should not consider that the demigods are all equal to Krishna, which means that we can worship anybody and everybody. Actually, you get nowhere by doing like that. Like people worship Shiva, sometimes they go to Shiva temple, sometimes Ganesh temple, sometimes Brahma temple, some different temples like this, they spend time. And if you see their life, only thing they very carefully follow is sense gratification. That nobody lives. Even in a slum, you will find the dish antenna also. Even dish antenna, not just ordinary antenna. You will have antenna for cable also. That nobody forgets. That religion everyone follows. That is the dharma of Kali Yuga. Sense gratification. So people are carefully following that, but when it comes to God, they have hardly any understanding. So this kind of materialistic religions are called as Kaitava Dharma. Worshipping different demigods for different benefits. In fact, when Vyasadeva had written all the different Puranas talking about different demigod worship, see, if you do this worship, you'll get this. If you do that worship, you'll get that. It's full of that. There are many. In fact, I used to read many demigod literatures before coming to Bhagavad Gita. So they will say, you know, Dusvapnanashana mantra. If you have to destroy a bad sapna, you have to chant particular mantra. And then if sarpa is, you know, if you have fear of sarpa, you have to do some particular mantra. And if you are very poverty stricken, then you have to chant particular mantra to become, to achieve the dhana lakshmi, santan lakshmi, soma lakshmi, ashta lakshmi sada. Different mantras are there for that. And there are page after page, book after book, so many books published. And so many pujaris waiting to help you do those pujas. And people are doing that all over India. And when Narada Muni saw that Vedavyasa had written such literatures for the people, Narada Muni was very unhappy. In fact, Vyasadeva himself was very unhappy and responded. He was sitting in his cottage, very, very worried. When his guru Narada came, Vedavyasa asked him, "Please tell me, why am I despondent? I have practically written everything. I have written all the Vedas, all the Puranas, Mahabharata, everything I have written. Even after writing all these things, why am I not satisfied?" Then Narada told him the reason. He said, "Are you satisfied by simply identifying yourself with the body and mind?" He asked him this first question, which he meant. What he meant was this, that you are giving people materialistic religion, simply to pamper the body and mind. That's all. Nothing else. Worshipping demigod means simply pampering the body and mind. You talk of anybody, talk of Ravana, what did he ask from Shiva? Talk of all the demons who are worshipping different demigods. So he said, "You have spoiled the people by giving this kind of materialistic religion." And he said, unless one glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can never be satisfied. In fact, he said, even if you don't talk about demigods and you talk about the impersonal Brahman, Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhava varjitam na shobhate jnana malam niranjanam. He said, Naishkarmyam, even if you teach people how to become unaffected by karma, how to be free from the entanglement of karma, still he said, Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhava varjitam. If achyuta bhava is not there, Krishna consciousness, achyuta bhava, what is achyuta bhava? Krishna consciousness. Bhavarjita means without that. That means even worshipping impersonal Brahman without Krishna consciousness, na shobhate. He said that is not attractive at all. Nyashopate jnanamalam niranjanam. Even if somebody is a jnani, he may be renouncing the things of the world and just keeping quiet, going to Himalayas and negating all the material pressures. He said even that is useless. The real stage, he said, is that one should glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he ordered him that he should write the Vedanta Sutra, which will be the summum bonum of all the Vedic literatures. And the conclusion, Vedanta means the conclusion of all the Vedic literatures. And one, by reading that, can understand the Paramahamsa, Samhita. And everything else is below that. And the same Vedavyas wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a natural commentary for the Vedanta Sutra. Janmadhyasya yataha, that's the first sutra. The Lord is the one from whom everything emanates, including the demigods. Even they all come from him. Like that verse, Narayanat, this is a Mahapurana thing. Narayanat Brahma Jayate, Narayanat Prajapati Prajayate, Narayanat Rudra Jayante, Narayanat Rudra Jayate, Narayanat Ashtavasav Jayante, Narayanat Dvadash Aditya. This is many, many things are said like that. In the same way, Eko Havai Narayana Asin, the first verse. This is in Narayan Upanishad. Eko Havai Narayana Asit, that's the first verse. Which means there was only Lord Narayana in the beginning. And then it says, Na Brahmo, Na Rudro, Na Api, Na Apana Agni, like that many things are said. Yeah. At that time there was nothing else. Only Lord Narayana was resting in the causal ocean. And then gradually everything started manifesting after that. So there are many verses like that in Upanishads as well as Puranas. So Vedavyas afterwards wrote this, Srimad Bhagavatam. There he condemns this as Kaitava Dharma, this kind of worship of demigods. He says, Dharma Projita Kaitavatra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatra Yonmulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kimba Parairishwaraha Sadhyo Rudyavate Kritibhi Sushrushubhis Takshanat. Dharma Projita Kaitavatra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. He is saying Dharma Projita Kaitavatra. Kaitava Dharma is kicked out from this Srimad Bhagavatam right in the beginning. There is no Kaitava Dharma. There is no recommendation of worshipping any demigods in Srimad Bhagavatam at all. And what is established here? Nirmat Saranam Satam. This knowledge is for those who are Nirmatsaras or those who want to become Nirmatsaranam. Like all of us. We are all aspiring to become Nirmatsaranam Satam. Devotees, devoid of envy, those who want to achieve love for Krishna. For them the Bhagavatam. What is it verse? Amalam Puranam Priyam. Priyam it is Srimad Bhagavatam. Anybody knows it was very nice verse, long verse. It ends with Priyam. Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very dear to the devotees. Now then? Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Yeah. It's a very long word actually. I don't remember, but the meaning is this, he caught the right point. Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. It's very dear to the Vaishnavas, Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam does not unnecessarily waste time in talking about worshipping different demigods for different material benefits. Because it's understood right in the beginning. Just like, you know, when you go to the college, they don't start from ABCD. They don't teach you how to coin words. Directly, if you join MA English, you will start with Shakespeare or, you know, Henry David Thoreau or something like that, you know. Directly they begin. They don't teach you the ABC, everything. It's understood that you already know the letters, you know how to coin the words, how to write. Even prose, what is it called? Prose, it starts with poetry. In the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam just begins directly with talking about pure devotion service. Krishna is the center right from the beginning to end. It's clearly understood. That's why he said, Dharma Projita Kaitavatra Parama. Actually, Vedavyas had written all those literatures for a different purpose. Because the general masses have a tendency to always go towards irreligion. The general masses they easily succumb to religion. That's the problem. Very easily they can take to drinking, and they can take to breaking the regulative principles. They have a tendency for that. And Vedavyasa felt great compassion. He saw that all the people are just plunged in the ocean of religion, and all living entities are torturing themselves. Instead of killing oneself. But they don't know that they are killing themselves due to religion. So he wanted to allure them and attract them towards God. In order to do that, he wrote those Puranas where lot of demigods are promising so many different offerings. Like you worship the demigod with this and you will get this. So that even those materialistic people who would otherwise be living a religious life, even they can take to religion. And they can also be following some kind of religion. And, you know, then worship demigods. And it's a very long process. Because you worship demigods with some material motive. Actually, the material motive is such a thing that it can be clearly seen. It's an open thing. Some people openly say it, that I am worshipping only for this. Otherwise, they have no other purpose. But others may not say it, but from their way of life, we can understand. But when we become Vaishnavas, if you read the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and that was Mayeva Mana Adatswari, I think Mayeva Mana Adatswami Buddhi Nivesha. The purport Prabhupada writes about how a devotee should learn to become selfless. You have Bhagavad Gita, we will read the purport. Very nice purport. 12.8, 12.8. Now Prabhupada explains, not in 12.8, in another verse. Yeah, 12.10. Explain 12.10. That is explaining, first of all, one should be a pure devotee of Krishna, Ananya Bhakta. And 24 hours think of Krishna. If it is not possible, then what is the next step? Then he says, what we all are trying to do. Second step. What is second step? Yeah, follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds every day. So be a Vaidhi Bhakta, second stage. And then he is saying this. One who is not, this is 12.10 purport. One who is not able even to practice the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga under the guidance of a guru, he can still be drawn to this perfectional stage by working for the Supreme Lord. How to do this work? It is explained in the 1.55. And the next one is very important. One should be sympathetic to the propagation of Krishna consciousness. Here lies the essence of this purport. What you do is not very important, but the first thing is, underlying thing is, one should be sympathetic towards propagation of Krishna consciousness. How do you feel in your heart? Do you really feel that Krishna consciousness should be spread over, all over, people should benefit? We should distribute Prabhupada books, people should get Krishna consciousness, people are suffering. Just see how the souls are wanting here and there without knowing Krishna. So one should feel a sympathy. In fact, one should feel that I want to do it. Just like a pure devotee is thinking of Krishna 24 hours. I want to do it. And I want to spread the knowledge that the Prabhupada has given to everyone. That desire should come. Because I cannot do that, let me help in some way. So this is the internal mood of a person who is engaged in some kind of work for Krishna. One should be sympathetic to the propagation of Krishna consciousness. There are many devotees who are engaged in the propagation of Krishna consciousness and they require help. So even if one cannot directly practice the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, he can try to help such work. Every endeavor requires land, capital, organization and labor. Just as in business one requires a place to stay, some capital to use, some labor and some organization to expand, so the same is required in the service of Krishna. The only difference is that in materialism, one works for sense gratification. The same work, however, can be performed for the satisfaction of Krishna. And that is spiritual activity. If one has sufficient money, he can help in building an office or temple for propagating Krishna consciousness. Or he can help with publications. There are various fields of activity and one should be interested in such activities. If one cannot sacrifice the result of his activities, the same person can still sacrifice some percentage to propagate Krishna consciousness. This voluntary service to the cause of Krishna consciousness will help one to rise to a higher state of love for God, whereupon one becomes perfect. So this is called as karma phala tyagam. That means offering a portion of the fruits that we earn in this world. Actually, everyone in this world has to earn for one's livelihood, sustenance. We all have to earn. But in the course of our earning, if one gets more than sustenance, then one should offer it to Krishna. In this way, by karma phala tyagam, what happens? One can gradually become a nishkama karma yogi. Actually, nishkama karma yoga and bhakti yoga are very nearby. So one should come to the practice of nishkama karma yoga. In the third chapter also, third and fourth chapter if you study, Krishna explains about nishkama karma yogi. First of all, one should avoid all distractions of the world and come into Krishna bhakti by at least working for Krishna, giving something to Krishna. Either give something to Krishna or give a part of your fruits or do some work for him. And then in this way, what will happen? For example, if somebody says that I will do some tailoring for Krishna, but I need money, that is not considered nishkam, because they are taking up pay for doing that particular seva. But if somebody wants to do some work, service for Krishna, but they don't take any remuneration, like they want to do tailoring but they don't take anything, then comes under nishkam. So one can, nishkam karma yoga means unattached to fruits and unattached to work also. You can give me any type of service. You give me service and I don't want any fruits. I just want to be of some service to Krishna. Like that. So there is a seed. This is actually the seed of pure devotional service, nishkama karma yoga. So what is the essential difference between the two? Just like acharyas have said, you know the Arundhati star? You've seen Arundhati star? It's very, very blurred. It's not very clear. But generally, if you want to see the Arundhati star, first you are told that you see the pole star. From there you can easily see like that. Similarly, that is why it is said to get bhakti is very difficult. So first you start in nishkama karma yoga. From there you can achieve bhakti. It's possible. Nishkama karma yoga is within our reach. Because you can practically do it. Do something for Krishna. It may be very painful, but you try to do it. Like, you know, sakama karma yoga means you are attached to fruits and attached to work also. Like that. And then in nishkama karma yoga, you are not attached to fruits. You are giving away the fruits. And in bhakti yoga, you are neither attached to fruits nor attached to work. Whatever is given to us, we just accept it like that. So in this way, in the previous chapters, it's explained, one can come to the path of pure devotional service. In ISKCON, of course, we talk about demigods very clearly, difference between Krishna and the demigods. Still, many people have smudged ideas. They clearly don't know how the pure devotion differs from this kind of worship. So there is no, it's like oil and water. They can never mix. The worship of Krishna is so pure, unadulterated. Like we were talking in the previous class, a devotee's behavior is not understandable to the common public. He doesn't care for anything in this world. He doesn't care for honor. He doesn't care for prestige. He eats whatever comes of his own accord. His body, mind and words are meant for the Lord's service. And the greatest joy he derives is by glorifying Krishna. I was recently watching this rehearsal, drama rehearsal. Tomorrow we are going to have drama. So there Hanuman is coming and dancing in the Ashok Vatika. So I was observing the different characters. So our Siddharth and Rupal Mataji, they are acting as Ram and Sita Ram. So, so amazing. Actually, when Mother Sita hears that sound, somebody singing, she becomes immediately frightened, she immediately stands up. And then with a very fearful look, she looks here and there. And then Hanuman goes on singing the Katha of Ram. And then he gets down from the tree and then he is, you know, moving here and there and singing. And then she's looking at this strange being, who is this? And then when she attentively hears what he is singing, then when she hears Lord Ram's glories, she also starts clapping hands. She also starts singing Ram's name. She's so absorbed. So what amazed me was, she was in such a frightening situation. Some new species has come there and she don't know who is that person. She is in a frightened position. But the Lord's name is so nectarian that a devotee completely forgets where she is or where he is. As soon as she heard the Lord's name, she forgot all her fear and started chanting. You will see that tomorrow, those of you are seeing drama. You observe this particular scene. That means a devotee, Prabhupada says, your devotee is so absorbed in the Lord's thought that he cannot be envious of anyone, he cannot be angry with anyone. Even those who trouble him, he doesn't take them seriously because he is too busy serving Krishna. He is so busy, absorbed in Krishna's service, that even those who trouble him, he doesn't consider them to be his enemy at all. So, pure devotional service is a very high platform. And on the other hand, demigod worship, no comparison. One place, there is a comparison between a diamond pot and a wooden pot. Somewhere Prabhupada compares in one of his conversations. It's like that. Like diamond and broken piece of glass. Difference between the two. Demigods are simply superior living entities, like any of us, but they are empowered by Krishna for a specific service as administrator of the universe. And they are capable of awarding different benefits for the living entities. And everyone goes to them offering varieties of pujas and worship to get the material benefits. There is no mood of sacrifice. There is no mood of selflessness. There is no mood of giving oneself. That kind of attitude is not there. In fact, there is the opposite mood. While going to demigod, already a man has made up his mind that this is what I want. I'm going to the demigod for this purpose. This demigod is capable of avoiding this, so I will go to this demigod. And you get that and your business is over. That's all. And you go to another demigod. So, it's purely a material kind of relationship. There is no question of love. That's why Prahlad Maharaj also says this, that the demigods award the results to maintain the prestigious position, while the followers go to demigods only for material benefits. Whereas the Lord Sri Krishna, he awards pure love and he does not expect anything material from his devotee. See the comparison. Lord Krishna, you can never allure him with anything material. You cannot allure him with wealth. You cannot allure him with yajna. I'll perform this sacrifice for you. Give me this, give me that. You cannot allure him with anything material. Nāyam ātmā pravacinin labhyo nā medhi anabhuna ashutena. By any amount of recitation of Vedic mantras, any amount of Vedic study, scholarship, and the puja, the glorification, Krishna cannot be moved. Lord chooses someone to whom he gives his mercy when he is pleased with that living being's sincerity. That's why bhakti is not achieved, bhakti is awarded. Because unlike the demigod worship, the demigods, they worship and they achieve something from them. And the demigods are obliged to award them what their devotees are demanding. Whereas the pure devotional service cannot be achieved by any amount of endeavor. Then one may ask, then why are we endeavoring? We are endeavoring simply to show Krishna that we are interested in him. We want him. I heard a very interesting example in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. There is an example used there. That Krishna is like a very wealthy landlord. He has such a huge compound. Imagine a wealthy landlord who has a huge compound. It has big walls and a huge steel gate that is put, and on the top of the wall there are broken glass pieces put all over so that no thieves will enter. And then you know that this person always, when he comes out in the morning, he goes in a very costly car, something like a Benz, Mercedes Benz. He goes and in front of him 10 cars go and behind him 10 cars go. And he uses all costly things. He uses a golden pen. He uses very costly shoes. And he has a huge marble palace furnished with all kinds of sofas and everything, beddings and everything. And he eats the costliest foods. And he has huge lawn, garden, everything. So you know that he is a very, very wealthy person. And you want that person, you want to go. But you see that the gate is closed. How does a Mayavadi try to enter? Mayavadi knows that this person is very rich. I want a part of his opulences. So what he does, he tries to climb up the gate, climb up the wall. And then when he tries to climb up, he tears his hands because there are broken glasses put on the top. Somehow he tries to go in and grab some item from there inside, steal something and tries to come out. Like that. So the jnanis, they know the opulences of the Lord and they also try to get some of the opulences, like renunciation. By my tyag, I will become God. But even if you steal from him, how much can you steal? Immediately there will be a burglar alarm, you will be caught there. Patanti yado anadrati ishmadangare. Then they go up to Brahman and they may pose themselves as God. I achieved this, that. Then again they fall back to his material world. But a bhakta is not like that. Bhakta simply stays out and he is simply waiting for an opportunity. And he claims, here I am a beggar. Bhavati bhikshandehi. He is asking for bhiksha. And then the master sees that every day when he comes out, he finds that this beggar is always there, all the time. What does he want? So he may just open the window of the car. Hey, every day I see you. No, how are you still interested that I'll give you something? I am seeing you day after day, month after month, year after year, all the time coming and standing near my door. Take something and go. What do you want? Take this. 100 rupees, not a year. Beggar says, no. Who wants this? And what do you want? You want to smoke this bunch? Take it. I'll take another one. You take this. He says, I don't want this. And what do you want? He says, I want to be related to you. I want to be with you. That is a devotee. So devotee is always very patient. He never loses patience. Ashabandha. Ashabandha is one of the qualities of a devotee. So devotee, like a chataka pakshi, is worshipping Krishna, not expecting anything material from him. See, the problem is, as soon as you accept something material, then immediately you will go down in the eyes of Krishna. If you tell Krishna that I will settle with you for this, finished. That means we go to the another category, asatuvida avajantema category. So we should not settle for anything material. You should not accept anything short of pure devotional service. Then we are Paramahamsas. So we have to follow in the footsteps of Paramahamsas, aspiring for the pure devotional service. So such a devotee knows, as Krishna explains here, those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in a wrong way. Text 24.
Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha natu mam abhijananti tattena tascha vantite.
I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. See, Krishna is the word tattvena tascha vantite. Actually, they fall down from the platform of truth. They don't know what is the truth. So, if you want to know the truth, we have to know the first line. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha. These two things, that Krishna is the enjoyer and Krishna is the Swami, proprietor. One should know these two things. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. So how can we know it? We already know it. We have heard it so many times. How do we know that there is something to keep on? What is the meaning of knowing it? The word Veti or Veda, word comes in Bhagavad Gita in so many places, isn't it? What is that word? Evam yo vetti tatvataha. What is the meaning of vetti or knowing? Any place Krishna talks about knowing, he may say, yes, I know, I am not the body, I am the soul. I know Krishna is Prabhu and Krishna is Bhokta. So, when we talk of knowing, one should have realization of that. When we talk of Krishna is the Prabhu, or master of, proprietor of everything and everyone, so one should try to begin making Krishna the proprietor in one's life. Like for example, everything we do, we have to take permission from Krishna. Like you build a house, you keep Krishna in the center, and every morning you worship him, bow down to him. That way you make Krishna the proprietor of the house, and you take permission from him for living there. So this is the way of first making him proprietor. In a very gross way, in a very external way, we have to begin in this way. Slowly we will find that every day when you offer bhoga, every day you bow down, whatever you have, you offer to Krishna like that, and you chant Krishna's name, glorify him, sing for him, do bhajan. This will gradually transform your life. You will find that he starts slowly occupying your heart. He will become a proprietor, in your heart. You will see that He is the Lord of your life. That is how we begin from here. Then we will, we all have a throne in which we have made Maya sit there. So we will remove Maya and replace Maya with Krishna. So Krishna will be sitting in the throne. So when we understand Krishna is the master, then we will see that all these demarcations between Maharashtra and Karnataka, the fights that are going on between who owns the river. Isn't Krishna what? Similarly, Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. What is it? Kaveri? Kaveri problem. So, all these demarcations between states and between countries within a globe are all imaginations. Simply our own imaginations. When the Russians flew in the rocket, from the top they were taking the telescope and they were watching their own Moscow. Where is Moscow? My piece of land where I was born. So we have such a strong attachment to the piece of land we were born. Like that. My India, Mera Bharat Mahan, Mera Russia Mahan, they would have thought like that. So everyone is attached to the piece of land where they are born. Like that. But one will understand that what to speak of the proprietorship of my own piece of earth. Like, you know, you can easily see the land which belongs to you or the house which belongs to us. We have a strong sense of proprietorship in the mind. I can tell from my own experience. When I was in 7th or 8th standard, I think, my father once was telling me, now, I was in 10th standard. Father said, now you have become a grown-up boy. So, I will take you and show you all the property. So, you have to see all the property and know, because you have to assume some responsibility. You come to 10th standard. Now you will be growing and I want to hand over some charges to you. So, you are just taking me across, so we are going from one house to another house, like dozens of houses and the farms and everything. So he would show, this land belongs to us, that was your grandfather got this, grandmother got this, this is our land. So it was a large tract of land and many, many houses left on rent and everything. So when I would be watching the father, I wouldn't be peeping out and saying that, proprietor of our houses is coming, Whatever you call it, what do you call them in English? Landlord, yeah. Our landlord is coming to supervise. So I'll be thinking, I am the son of landlord. Walking, and everyone is watching at us. Later on I used to laugh at myself. What kind of Swami I am? How long do we remain in this world to be a Swami of a particular place? How abominable it is to consider oneself to be a Swami, proprietor. Very unfortunate. Because we are born in particular family, and if you have a father who wants 100 acres land, you think I am the Swami of 100 acres. And especially in the mind, it's deep rooted. Households, actually sometimes, like we were in one place, IIT Kharagpur, I don't want to mention the name, we were staying in a particular house. So they were devotees were cooking some items. So that person became very very afraid that if they are cooking here, there will be smoke on the wall, smoke should not touch the wall, and they should not break this, they should not break that. I felt as if the way he spoke, it appeared to me that house is like a part of his body. Like if you pinch a person, how will they feel? Like that. He felt the house is his body only. Like that. Oh, open the tap very slowly, otherwise the tap will break. And then if you go and put on the light, please put out the light, Now it is almost even, morning has come, early morning you don't need light, like early morning. So just as if somebody troubles a part of your body, how will you feel? In the same way, sometimes you become very attached to a particular house, or a land, a piece of land, or some gold that you accumulated. You become very attached. So it's very difficult to see Krishna to be the proprietor. That's why in the Vedic Yajna and all, we put the grains in the fire, and the silk in the fire, and ghee in the fire, offering it as an ahuti to Vishnu. We offer it all to Vishnu. Although it is very painful to detach ourselves from all the things that we accumulated. So we understanding Him to be the enjoyer. So Krishna says, Aham ki sarva yajnana bhokta cha prabhureva cha. I am the enjoyer and I am the proprietor. As He says earlier also, first chapter, last verse, bhokta ram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. So this is something that we have to work on throughout our lives. I am telling you that I had that realization, but it's not that I have become free from Swamitva or Prabhutva now. We all have that. It's very deep rooted and it's not going to go overnight. It's like in Bhagavatam, the example is given of Gritakumbha Nivapagaha. It says just like the wine kept in a pot, you know, even if you throw it and you wash it and you smell it, still that wine smell will come. Similarly, these things are deep rooted. In fact, every day by chanting and by surrendering and by hearing repeatedly again and again, we are slowly working on it. We are slowly trying to destroy this wrong mentality of enjoyer and proprietor. Slowly, slowly. So spiritual life simply means handing over charge back to Krishna. Give it back to Krishna. Now Krishna, I am yours. You take all the charge back and you conduct me. You orchestrate me. You run my life. And you order me. You instruct me. That is actually spiritual life. Natumama vijananti tatve natashchavantite. Those who don't know Krishna to be the Bhokta and Krishna to be the only Prabhu, they will fall from this platform of truth. Just like the Vijabhasis. Vijabhasis, they were performing Indra Puja. So, you remember we read a verse in the 8th chapter about who is the Adi Yajna, who is the Adi Atma. So Krishna says, I am the Adi Yajna. Although Indra is the immediate receiver of the fruits of sacrifice, ultimately who receives the benefit of sacrifice? Krishna receives it like that. So the Vijabhasis are aware of that. When they were performing Indra Puja, so Krishna told them, stop it. And you perform puja for the Govardhan. At once they heard what the Lord said. That means they remained on the platform of truth. Because they knew Krishna is the Bhokta, Krishna is the Prabhu. And they just followed Krishna. Krishna wants us to offer it to Govardhan, he'll offer it to Govardhan. And they could clearly understand that Indra, Chandra, Varuna, they are all great, powerful demigods. But they are not greater than Krishna. They are not equal to Krishna. Krishna is ultimate. They knew that. So those who don't know that, they will fall from the platform of truth. Just like that washerman. Washerman, when Krishna asked him, you give me nice beautiful dress for me and Balaram, we want to wear. So he could not understand who is Prabhu, who is Swami, who is Bhokta, he couldn't understand. So he rebelled. He said, you impudent children, don't you know that this clothes belong to Kamsa? Next time if you ask like this, I will send a message to Kamsa and he will punish you. So this is other extreme example of a person who fell from the truth. So he was punished for that. So in our lives, we should always keep this truth in the mind that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Krishna. In fact, the acharyas are so intelligent that they have organized our life, everyday life in such a way that we can slowly understand this fact. Every day we chant Shikshashtakam. Ashlishava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanan marmahatam karotuva yatha tatava vidadhatu lampato matprananatastu saevana para. My dear Krishna, you are my master and worshipful Lord unconditionally and you can do anything you want with me. So we are actually declaring to Krishna like this. And Krishna will do that if you declare. We should be prepared for that. Krishna can orchestrate us the way he wants. So, acharyas have made us pray such songs and such prayers so that we can come to that platform. We will complete this verse also 25.
Yanti deva vrata devan pitran yanti pitru vrata bhutani yanti bhutejya yanti madhya jinopima.
Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me. So Prabhupada used this verse several times in his conversations. And he would give the same example which I gave in the beginning. That has a ticket example. If you take a ticket to Calcutta, you will go to Calcutta. You cannot go to Chennai. In the same way, whomever you worship, you will achieve that planet. This is such a strong verse, such a high clarity verse. There is no ambiguity in this. In fact, many mundane interpreters have just given the translation for this, but they could not give any purport to this. Lord clearly says, if you worship Gosan spirits, you will go to Gosan spirits. If you worship demigods, you will go to demigods. If you worship me, you will come to me. Which means, those who are worshipping demigods will remain in the material world, because all demigods are in the material world. They will go and they will remain. So the demigods, their worshippers, along with their planets, everything will be finished at the time of dissolution. They will all be finished and they will be reborn again and again. But then Lord says, those who worship me, they will come back to me. And Lord says this several times in many places. He says, Punajanmana vidyate, one will not take birth again. No demigod can say like that. No devata can say that those who surrender to me, they will never have to take birth again. Show me one example. Abrahma bhunaloka punaravartanuja maampitukante punajanmana vidyate. Only Krishna can say like that. Has any demigod said like that? Even Lord Shiva says, Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnu yevana samshaya. Harim vina mritim na taranti. Without Lord Hari's shelter, no one can go beyond death. So demigods promise many material benefits, but this one thing they cannot offer. What is it? After death, sending you back home, back to Godhead. That they cannot offer. In fact, they offer it also. You know how they offer? By bringing their followers to Krishna, to Krishna's devotees. Like Shiva says, if somebody worships me with a pure heart, with no material desires, then I feel very great joy. Then I chant the name of Hari in their ears and I bring them to devotees' company. That's the only thing demigod can do. They can bring you and put you in the assembly of devotees. Then you are also a Krishna devotee after that. Otherwise they cannot. They can only give material benefits. That's why he says, if you worship Shiva, you go to Shiva. If you worship Durga, you go to Durga. If you worship any devata. Even the very faithful performance of yajna, dana, tapa, charity and all that, you can only elevate one to higher planets depending on one's piety. Either mahaloka, janaloka, tapaloka, satyaloka. Again and again one keeps rotating, as we read earlier. So in this way, Krishna very clearly, openly declares that this is the situation. Even after reading this, how can one not worship Krishna? But there are people, even after reading this, it doesn't enter their head that you worship any demigod. Kanti Deva Vrata Devan. Prabhupada would, practically, anybody who would begin about demigod worship, Prabhupada will quote this verse. Kanti Deva Vrata Devan. And then Prabhupada will directly say this. Kanti Madhya Jino Pima. If you worship demigod, you go to demigod. If you worship me, you come to me. So that means Krishna is categorizing demigods, all of them in one lot and himself in another place. It says that you have to worship me to come to me. So as devotees, all of us may be worshipping Krishna in our everyday life. So why do we speak so much? We are worshipping Krishna only. What is the need of elaborating these verses so much? As soon as you see a demigod verse, you can just skip it. So anyway, we are not worshipping. We can go to the next verse. The purpose of talking so much is, amongst all the different aspects of devotional service, one of the aspects is taking complete shelter of Krishna. Krishnaika Sharana. We may be falling short of that. There is a great likelihood that we may not probably having complete faith that Krishna is the only shelter. So we might be fearing security from various quarters in our neophyte life. So actually, to be very frank, many of us take shelter of Krishna because the circumstances are favorable for us. So we take shelter of Krishna. But there is a likelihood that when the circumstances go wild and they become unexpected, we don't know who will do what, we can't say. So one may be having many other shelters. There are many people who give up devotion service and they take shelter of their parents, they take shelter of rich people, they take shelter of demigods. They go to some pujaris and learn, do some yajnas for demigods. They go to tantrics, and tell them, please do this for me, I have this problem in life, you sort it out. And they go to some jyotishis, horoscope, astrologers. You tell them, you please sort it out. It seems Krishna can't help so much, you know. Krishna is too busy with his devotees. And for me to become pure devotee, it may take a long time, you know. So till then I can't wait. So even now I am controlled by grahas, you know. After all, I am not a pure devotee. Some justification, you know. Now after all, I am not a pure devotee. So I have to go to, you know, astrologers. I have to do a little bit of demigod worship also. When I become pure devotee, that time I won't worship anybody, you know. But now, as long as I am, you know, because you know, Krishna is not giving full support to me, you know. He is giving some support and then grahas are also really shaking me, you know. So, because of this kind of thought, what we do? We have one leg there, one leg here. You know. But following such demigods and astrologers is like catching the tail of a dog to cross the ocean. Can a dog help you? No, he will be doing like this, the water. For some distance he will do. If you put a dog in water, what do you think he can do? He will do like this, from here to there he will go and that's all. He will also drown and you will also drown. Like that. So catching the demigod's feet is like holding the tail of a dog, hoping that the dog will take you across the ocean to the other side. How foolish it is. It's like that. But taking shelter of Krishna, Krishna is actually the first deliverer. Of his devotees. Tesha maham samudratta. So we are seeking all these things only so that at the hour of crisis, even in heart, we will not take shelter of anybody else. But we will always remain at the feet of Krishna faithfully, loyally. Just like a dog serves the master loyally. Dog is actually an animal who is very famous for his loyalty. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur compares himself to a dog in that Sarva Sattva Sang. So devotee should be very faithful in surrendering only to Krishna. No matter how circumstances go crazy in life, even if there is a storm in life, even if situations are not favorable, no matter how, in Prahlad Maharaj's life, what kind of storm came, what kind of difficulties he endured, but he had unflinching determination in serving only Krishna, and no one else. He didn't take anybody's help. So that is the purpose why we are discussing about demigods again in this chapter, in so much elaboration. Hare Krishna. In shelter, the most important thing is your consciousness. How you take. For example, Prabhupada used to tell his devotees to fix up programs on other days other than Thursday. Because Thursday you are not supposed to travel. So they would generally fix. But sometimes there are programs where 10,000 people will come on a Thursday evening. And Prabhupada was traveling. He agreed. He took that program. And then he would travel and he would do that program and come. But he would generally prefer that he has programs on other days. In the same way, we also see astrology. Prabhupada used to see astrology also sometimes. Occasionally, you would see auspicious days, you know, auspicious times, and all that. But then, when it comes to the question of, you know, whether it is Krishna consciousness or this auspicious time, then Krishna consciousness would assume more importance for him, like that. In the same way, for example, if your life takes you to a situation where you badly need the help of relatives whom you rejected in the earlier time, thinking that now I am becoming a devotee, I don't need all of them. At later time you feel that you need them. Still, a devotee knows that I can accept some loan from them or I may accept some help from them. But these are karmis. I have to, you know, have company with them just like touching fire. I have to be very careful. I will remain loyal to Krishna. Of course, I am taking this money, I will give it back. But you cannot become friends with them. Sometimes what happens, even devotees, at one point of time when they see that they are getting more support from karmis. Karmis are well behaved, karmis are supporting them. They totally give up Krishna and they get into karmis association, thinking that they are better than Krishna. Isn't it? Yeah, one can do like that. One can totally forget Krishna when there is a crisis in life, when there is a financial crisis, there is an emotional trauma in somebody's life, or there is some family quarrel. So there are many situations in life where one may give up Krishna consciousness and take shelter of mundane people. So even if you have to take shelter of mundane people, one should never give up Krishna. You can take help from them, understanding that Krishna has put me in a situation where I have to depend on these people. Just imagine a brahmachari in Bombay. One devotee he was living in the ashram. But for joining the ashram, he had to reject his parents, had a big fight with parents and everything, and he came to ashram. And his father said, I will never even look at your face, and he said, I won't look at your face, and all that. He came. Some years passed, after 3-4 years, now a situation came back when he had to change his ashram. He had to marry. So he had decided that now I will not tell my parents anything, I will directly go to America. And there I will earn some 10-20 lakhs, minimum. And I'll come back to India and I'll buy a house in 5-6 lakhs. I'll put some 10 lakhs in the bank, you know. Then I have security for future and I have my own house. And I'll marry a devotee girl and I'll settle peacefully in life. So this was his plan. And he thought that now, because of my past conditioning, now I have to change ashram. He had to change ashram. Imagine a person who has been living in ashram for 4-5 years now, all of a sudden he has to change ashram. So he was a little fearful that he has changed ashram, and devotees gave him support in the ashram. But the greatest challenge for him was when it came that the senior devotees refused to give him blessings to go abroad. They told him that you have to go back to home, meet your father, and tell him that you are going to have a change of ashram, and you will live in the same city, and you will do some job, you know, and you will live a simple life. Just imagine how difficult it is for him. Such an ego problem, huh? Such an ego problem. Again for him to go and meet his father and tell him. So it was very painful for this devotee. So he talked to me also on a personal level. He was literally crying tears. He said, I know very clearly it's only my ego that stops me from meeting my father. Because it was me who rejected him, you know. And we had a big fight and all. Now, his challenge is whether he wants to please devotees, which means pleasing Krishna. Or he can reject the devotee's words and still he can go to America. And he can earn a lot of money, you know. He can come back, and after settling, he can go and pass away those devotees. See, I have come back safely now, you know. Say, you told me that I will be caught up in Maya, but I have come back safely. Now, say, I am giving you some money also, don't worry. I am giving some money to father, some money to you, and I am happy. So his ego will be pampered and maintained, isn't it? Just imagine, he couldn't do that. He didn't do that. He surrendered to devotees. He pleased devotees, but that means he remained in the shelter of devotees. So he went home, met his father, opposed to his own wrong notion, that his father will laugh at him or ridicule him or scold him. His father very respectfully received him. And he got him a good job, he settled, now he's coming to temple. So that means he never gave up Krishna shelter. It's very painful to remain in Krishna shelter at such a time. But he remained. Anybody else would have probably told the devotees, no, tell me the reason why I cannot go to America. You have to give me reason. And they have to tell him, see, if you go to America, you may fall prey to Maya, you know. No, I won't fall in Maya. So they may ask, you know, what is assurance? No, I know very well. But they may feel that now you have changed ashram. So what is the likelihood that you will remain, say, as a devotee alone, you know? So he had such love for the devotees that he remained. He didn't go. So in the same way, we all should remain in Krishna's shelter. Very important. Yes, ma'am. For astrology, see, for example, you go to astrologer, he tells you that you have 7.5 years problem, for example, he tells you. And then he will also tell some parihar and all, he will tell you, you can do this, do that. So then if you go for all that parihar, certainly your faith in Krishna diminishes by that, if you take that parihar and all. So he tells you, you know, what pratihara or parihar, they call it, pratihara, prashtaya, prashtaya. So he will tell you that you have to give the charity to one Brahman, and he will bring some Brahman, you know, who is a show bottle, you know, somebody will bring. You have to give him something, and you have to give Dakshina, you have to do this demigod puja at home. Yeah, some people do all that. And then the Savanda of Shani, you have to do some Shani puja, and you have to go to the, you know, that Navagraha, you have to circumambulate, you know, so many times in a day and all that you should do. And if you do that, the effect of Shani will reduce enough. So now you may be thinking, you know, if you go to Navagraha temple, what will devotees think, you know? So I had to go in disguise otherwise. Isn't it? Going to Navagraha temple and doing circumambulation. South India, my Lord, there is Surya, there is Chandra, there are Navagrahas, people rotating so many times. I have also done it many times, along with everyone. We didn't know what was there. Now we understand now. So, isn't it, you've seen how many times they rotate. So he will prescribe all that. So if you start taking shelter of all that, what happens? Gradually your faith in Krishna diminishes. Then what do you think? Okay, Krishna consciousness is all right, but not so practical. You know, practically we need the help of Navagrahas and demigods and everyone. And then we become very diluted in our devotional life. On the other hand, whenever difficulties come, even if you see Jyotish says that you have 7.5 or whatever, Krishna is above 7.5. He can control the 7.5 also. He can make 7.5 years into 7.5 minutes. You know that story, one Brahman? In his, according to his karma, he was supposed to suffer 7.5 years by Shani. So Shani was waiting to put him in trouble. Shani has his vahan, crow. So he was waiting. So this Brahman came home, and when he came from the bathroom, he was washing his leg. But back, rear end of the leg, he didn't wash properly. So through that, the Shani entered his leg. And as soon as he came inside, he sat, started eating, prasad. And he put in the mouth, tuck, some sound came. The stone, he bit a stone. He became so angry. He started cursing his wife, giving vulgar words. That is the exhibition of Shani. Whenever we speak bad words, understand that Shani is on your tongue. He started cursing his wife, yelling at his wife, and she was crying. And in this way, the whole atmosphere became very polluted like that. And in the meantime, what happened? He was a pujari worshipping in a temple. And the beautiful necklace and the ornaments that the deities were wearing were missing. And somebody told that this pujari only has stolen it because he wanted to give it as a dowry for his daughter's marriage. So it's taken. So immediately the king's men came and got him arrested. They took him to the king. And king used to have so much faith in this pujari before. But now he left him to the policemen and they were beating him, whipping him severely. It started bleeding on his back. So all these things happened in just almost 7.5 minutes or so. So Lord made this 7.5 years what he was supposed to suffer. It happened 7 minutes. And within the 7.5 minutes, the news came to the king that who stole it, and and the necklace was brought back, and the king fell at his feet, sought forgiveness and everything. So this person was wondering why it happens to me in my life. Why did the Lord give me this punishment? Later on he understood that what he was supposed to suffer for 7.5 years, that was so, it was made into a small capsule. It was a token punishment for him. Like that. So Lord can make that if we just take shelter of the Lord. But if we have more faith in others, what happens if we should not go on shifting the faith more and more the other time? Even if you see astrology, how will you react is more important. Okay, see sometimes, no, we are just seeing it, we say like that, and then we see it, and then my Lord, it's like that. Maybe I should take some steps. So in the name of taking steps, we gradually go, we get offset from the main part. That lies the real danger. But if you don't get offset, like as far as seeing the horoscope is not considered non-Vedic at all. Like if a boy and girl have been married, you have to see whether sometimes the girl is Asura and boy is Devagan, Asura and Devagan, dangerous. And a boy will be like, very soft and girl is Asuragan. And if the boy is Asuragan, so it's very dangerous. You have to see the match, it's very important. Sometimes you have seen husband subdued by wife or wife subdued by husband or whatever. If there is no proper match, if both of them have, that actually it is match of goodness, passion and ignorance. It is match of that only. So it's not wrong to see that match if you see astrology for that purpose. So otherwise, some people go into all the minute details, so many matches and everything. Praying to Krishna for going back to Godhead and praying to demigods for material well-being. Can you combine both, you are asking? We cannot be over-intelligent. See, if you have to go back to Godhead, you have to worship only Krishna because Krishna demands that absolute surrender. Maam ekam sharanam braja. Only then aham tvam sarupapadhyo will come. Next to that. If you say that instead of ekam I will surrender to so many people, then how can Krishna vanquish you from all your sins? How can he vanquish all your sins? Aham tvam sarva papevya mokshesham. Krishna says, I will eradicate all your sins. Only if you surrender to me alone. Completely put faith in me. Don't, have faith in too many people. He's saying. Because they all are actually under me, Krishna says. That means, Krishna consciousness and sense gratification go ill together. Prabhupada used to say. Demigod gives you sense gratification. Krishna gives you pure bhakti, pure love. They cannot go hand in hand. Yeah. Of course, when one worships Krishna, whatever Krishna gives you, you accept that. He satisfies. Not only he gives it to you love, he takes care of everything that you need. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki Srila Prabhupada ki. Once we saw a long queue in that Mahalakshmi temple.